Let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2, verse 1 tonight. First Corinthians, chapter number 2, begin reading in verse 1. Our text will be from verse 1 to verse 5 this evening. The Bible says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Amen. Why don't we say that last part of that verse again? We'll start, "but in demonstration." Let's read that together. "But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Verse 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah. Verse 2 is going to be the main text tonight. It says, "For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Hallelujah. Tonight I want to preach on Christ and His cross. Christ and His cross. Why don't we just lift our hands to heaven? Let's worship Him tonight and thank Him for what He's doing in our hearts. Heavenly Father, we worship You. We thank You for the Word. God, we thank You for this church, for Your people. God, I thank You for our youth group, Lord. I thank You for our elders, our adults here tonight. Father, they're faithful. Faithful in the hard times, faithful in the dry times. God, they're faithful. I pray tonight You would bless them for their faithfulness. Illuminate Your Word in our hearts. God, illuminate Your Word in our minds. Transform us by the power of Your Spirit. God, we will reflect You in all areas of our life. We give You the praise and the honor and the glory. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I find it amazing that Paul was completely honest with a church in Corinth when he said, I'm not going to focus on anything. When I've been there, you know this. I didn't focus on anything except Jesus Christ. I didn't take time to focus on the latest fashion. I didn't take time to focus on the latest pop psychology. We didn't start a kickboxing club in place of Wednesday night service. You think I'm kidding, but a person I know just recently told me that their church is doing that. They've replaced Wednesday night Bible study, and they've taken the chairs, moved them out of the sanctuary. On Wednesday night, they have kickboxing class. Hi-ya. All right. I can barely get my foot above my knee. That is not going to be effective tonight. Paul didn't do that in Corinth. Paul didn't have a gladiator class on Wednesday evening service. Paul said, I did one thing while I was there, church. And you know this, by the time that I spent there, I preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I find it amazing at how simple that statement is, and yet how profound and powerful that church building method is. It's still all about Jesus Christ today. We can try to do any other thing. I know that we have Wednesday night classes in the back. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the foundation of the church being built squarely upon Jesus Christ. Whether it's in worship, whether it's in fellowship, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in the preaching of the Word, it all must be centered and focused upon Jesus Christ. Paul said, "I didn't come to you with excellency of speech or with any profound wisdom. I came to you just as I was and with one message, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ." You know, there is a pressure. There is a pressure upon the pastors of our time today and upon the men and women of God that there be a new thing every time we gather. And I don't know if you know that, But somebody made mention of it the other night about how many sermons our pastor has preached in just the last year alone. Do you know how rare it is in the time that we live today for a pastor to not only just preach one time, but one sermon that they wrote themselves or studied for themselves? The rarity of the gospel message being presented and preached in the church world today. It is so scarce. I believe that's why that the Barna Research Group and the Pew Research Forum can find statistic after statistic that shows that the percentage of those that are in the church world today know less and less about the gospel and about the scriptures and about the Bible. Because it's not that the Bible has changed or that the message has changed. It's that the messengers have changed. Paul came with a very simple, yet powerful, and still equally powerful message today. He came preaching Jesus Christ. And that is the only thing. Now listen, I know that there were other truths that were expounded upon in his time in Corinth. And we gather that from the letter that he wrote in 1 Corinthians 1 and later in 2 Corinthians. But we know that all of the truths, all of the principles, all of the precepts that were taught in any of the places that Paul stopped at, they were based upon Jesus Christ and his crucifixion. Now, why would Paul so vehemently focus upon not only Christ, but upon the pain and the suffering that Christ went through? And I believe it's this. He knew that the only way that you and I would be drawn to Christ is for us to realize He paid the debt that we owed. He knew that the gospel message does not just say Christ came from heaven and He came to the earth and He was a good man. No, it goes beyond that. Sister Rose, you cannot have the gospel without the cross. You cannot have the life-changing message of the blood unless the blood had been shed. You cannot have Christ without the cross. It was just said that Christ was the spotless lamb. We know that the lamb was symbolic in sacrifice for the covering of sin, for that yearly offering that the high priest would bring before God in substitution for the people's sin. And yet, our great high priest became himself the sacrifice. And for all of humanity, from that time forward, he paid the price. You cannot have Christ without the cross. And the blood that was shed and his life that he poured out. Here's the most beautiful part of the whole story. This message still works. I know that there is a pull and a push to change the message that we present. There is always a pressure to give something else that's new, something in style, something in vogue. But listen, church, this is the only message that is going to change the lives of men and women around us. We can look today, and we were talking Sunday in our Sunday school class about the church world today that is popping up the emerging church. Thank you. I was thinking re-emerging for some reason, but the emerging church and how their numbers skyrocketed when it first came on the scene, and it was supposed to be a powerful movement and thousands were flocking to this style of church. Hard rock music and pastors that cuss and let's get a dirt bike and inside the sanctuary and we'll build a dirt bike ramp and we'll do jumps and BMX tricks and all this stuff, and people flocked to it. And I just read this week again on how those churches are foreclosing at an astronomical rate. Why? They had something to offer, but it wasn't the message. It wasn't the gospel. Church, we can point fingers at them all we want to and say, look at you. You didn't make it. We knew you weren't going to make it. We knew that you were just some new liberal thing. Listen, we can do that all day long, but if we ourselves are not only teaching Christ here, our church, but if we are not living Christ in our work and in our schools, then we are no better off than the church world out there. Listen, today, the message still must be what Paul said, Christ and his crucifixion, because we understand how much he paid for us. I love Jesus Christ because I know where I was heading, and yet he substituted himself for me. Paul later on said, I was there with you, verse 3, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now, if you look at that, you say, well, man, that doesn't sound very powerful. What he's saying here is, I recognize how insignificant I am as an individual, the same as you. I came to you not with high speech. He could have spoke eloquently. This is a man who was in line in the priesthood. This is a man who studied. He knew the law. He could have been very eloquent, and yet he came with a message. And he said, church, I'm just like you. I know our backgrounds might not be the same, but I know that I was in need of a Savior. And I stand before you trembling again today, just as I was on that road to Damascus, knowing that who I am today is all because of the price that Christ paid for me. Listen, church, this is revival. When we get into the house of the Lord and the music begins to play and the preaching begins to take place, or the Spirit of God is moving, is revival in essence our realization that we are in need of Jesus Christ in that moment, in time to come? Come. That is revival. It is not an idea that is self-sufficient, but it is a recognition that we are a needy people. And Paul understood, if we are going to present the gospel, then we ourselves must continually remember that we are in need of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I need him. There will never be a time in my earthly existence where I can say I am self-sufficient. From youngest, and if we asked our eldest in here tonight, they would say, I still need him. Brother Rose, how long have you been saved? How many years? Do you still need him? Hallelujah. 64 years, and he can honestly say, I still need him. Church, I must have Christ in my life. I can't go back. I can't go back. And thirdly, the people trusted in God because Paul did not come with them with high-mindedness. He wasn't just using eloquence, but he demonstrated the power of God and the Spirit of God moving in the church. What did he say here? Verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I'm not just trying to convince you. I'm not just trying to pull you onto my side and pull you out of what you know or what you believe. But I'm going to allow God to work in my life to the point that when you walk into the sanctuary, Sister Brock, when folks walk into this house, there ought to be enough of the power of God here, and a liberty amongst his people, and a submission amongst his people that allows the Spirit of God to move. Paul said, I'm not going to try to convince you. I'm going to let the Spirit of God do what he does, and you will see there is something real here. I loved what Pastor said Sunday morning and talking about how there's differences amongst the house sometimes, and we want to try to do everything on our own and change folks on our own, but why not just let the Spirit of God do what he does best, and that's penetrate the heart of men and women and boys and girls. Listen, church, there's God in this place, and he is the God, and he's alive today. He does not need my help, but I desperately need him. And when his Spirit enters into the tabernacle, there will be a difference. Hallelujah. There will be something that is alive, that is more than just talent, that is more than just energy. There will be God in the house. Hallelujah. Listen, I needed to be changed, not with a message, not with a minister. I needed to be changed by an almighty God, a God who knew me, a God who could deliver me. And he's still the same God tonight. Hallelujah. And so when folks drive by, and when folks enter into this house, we know that God is here. Hallelujah. The Bible said that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. And I know tonight that God is faithful. Jesus Christ is faithful. What does His Word say? If two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst. Hallelujah. That tells me that when we enter into the service, when we enter into the sanctuary, whether it be in the prayer meeting, whether it be in service, God is here and liberty follows with Him. That is why we invite folks to church. That is why we say, come and get prayed for. That is why we still believe in the gifts of the Spirit, because it is the life-changing force of the church. We can have all the talent in the world, but if we don't have the power of God, we have nothing. Because talent will dry up. Talent will fail. Talent will eventually leave. But the Spirit of God makes rich. And He is able tonight to do what we could not do. There are times that I wonder, God, is there anything else I can do to change so and so? I would love to just go and take care of a situation for him. I'd love to just get rid of that temptation. I'd love to make a decision for him. But I know that I can't. But God, where I am futile, where my limitations may be right here, I know that you are able to penetrate the heart. Your word is still alive today, just as it was when you had the author's pen, the words. We know that the Spirit of God is rich and is available to the church that humbles themselves before God. It's a message. Paul said, I came only focusing on Jesus Christ and His crucifixion. I understand my need of Christ myself. I tremble at the thought of my own salvation. And I'm not going to try to convince you. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do that. Church, God is still in the convincing business. I am convinced of this. Folks have never been turned away by the Spirit's moving. They are turned away by the lack of His moving. As basic as you can get, people are never turned away by Christ. They are turned away by the life of those who say they are like Christ. If they choose to walk away from Jesus Christ, that is a choice that they are making. But Christ has never refused someone to come. Christ's Spirit and the Holy Ghost still continues to draw men and women. I was praying tonight, God, move in our classes on Wednesday night. Touch these children. I believe that when the Spirit's moving here, He's still moving in Brock Hall. And He's still moving in the Vaughn Hall. And He's moving in the hangout because His Spirit is still drawing, whether they be as young as can be or as old as they might be. When we go to the nursing home, youth group, when we go to the nursing home, we're believing that the Holy Spirit is there. That's why we go. It's not just to take time up in the month. We are believing God is ministering for the youngest to the oldest because we know this message works. Amen. Music, would you come? I find it continually refreshing. Whenever you look at the statistics of NA or AA, whenever you look at the statistics of individuals coming out of prison and going into either a halfway house or an establishment like that, The statistics are off the charts at how you can have a facility that refuses to acknowledge God and a facility that utilizes and lifts up God. And the statistics show off the charts, individuals will almost always do better in a place that lifts up Christ. Bottom line, you can look at health. Individuals who are believers tend to live longer and healthier lives. Why? Because we don't use the vices of the world. That sounds simple. But if you live like Christ, there is a difference. Not even just spiritually, but across the board in our lives, there's a difference. When Christ comes into your heart, He does not just come in so that you can become a puppet or a robot. He comes in to make your life abundant. That is what He said. John 10:10 said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy." And I know that when I was in bondage to sin, my life was headed for destruction. Is there anybody else that would agree with that? My life was headed towards a road of ruin. But when Christ came in, when Jesus came into my heart, immediately there was a difference. There was a change. It wasn't just a change of religion. It was a relationship change that transformed my whole life. Hallelujah. Church, we've still got the answers. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when the Spirit of God begins to work, I want to be willing to be used. I forget who it was that preached it here, and I want to say it was you, Pastor, but I can't honestly remember. Wet blanket religion. I don't remember if it was you or not, but I think it was. I believe tonight God still wants to use folks in His church, in His kingdom. I honestly believe that. There are so many times, Sister Dirth, that opportunities have come and I've sat through it and I've not let the Spirit use me. And I've walked away from those services asking, "Lord, what did I miss out on?" Listen, I believe the Spirit wants to move, church. I just want to be willing to move with Him. When those Israelites were walking, heading towards Canaan, the Bible said the Lord provided a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. That cloud, it shaded them from the hot, burning sun, but that pillar of fire by night, it gave light to them and protection. But here's the thing. When it started to move, they started packing and they went with it. They didn't walk 10 days and say, "You know, I'm going to let the cloud or the fire go a few days. I'll catch on up." When they saw the Lord's presence moving, they started packing. It didn't matter if they were in the middle of a game. Brother Kevin, they started packing their tent up. Mama called out for the kids and said, "Get your clothes. We're going." Daddy went and got all the cattle. He got all the animals. He got everything he could put on the cart. And he said, "We are going." Because when the Spirit starts moving, that's where our family's going to be. And I just pray tonight. Listen, I know that we've got situations in here where maybe mom and dad aren't here, young people, to push you on. Well, listen to Brother Brian, okay? When the Spirit of God starts moving, that's where we start going. We do not allow the world around us to dictate where we stand with God. But when God's presence starts moving, that is where we follow. And it will always move when we stay in accordance with His Word. He is a faithful God. He is a holy God. And when we stick with Christ, the Spirit of God will always follow. Hallelujah. How many times have we heard the Spirit of the Lord is where Jesus is glorified? Paul preached Christ and the Spirit of the Lord showed up every time. Hallelujah. You say, I just want to be in His presence, church. That's what I'm getting at tonight. And I know you do too. That's why you're here tonight. Why don't we stand across the house? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wasn't the Lord's presence rich Sunday night? Oh, I long to be in that type of atmosphere. Hallelujah. And minister to me Sunday evening when folks started to obey the Lord. You never know who you're going to be a blessing to when you get out in faith. There have been times, Brother Aaron, I felt so silly, just stupid. Just think, man, folks are looking and I'm just staring. Brother Kevin, every time I've obeyed the Lord, I have never once been rejected by Christ, though. Every time I've obeyed God, He has blessed and come by. And in those moments, those were the defining moments in low times when I needed God to move in my life, when I was obedient. Those were the times He carried me through to victory. There were times when I've watched our elders, Sister Vickers, start shouting, and I might not have been in an atmosphere of worship in my own life, but when I saw one of our elderly individuals obey God, something rose up in me, hallelujah, and I said, I want to be like that, hallelujah. When I heard Brother Combs praying, amen, in the prayer room, there were moments where I just stop and listen and say, God, that's what I want to be, hallelujah. Listen, church, we've still got the answers. God, He is alive, and He wants to move today. And He is moving today. Hallelujah. Why don't we come? Let's find a place to pray. And continue to ask the Lord to pour Himself out upon His people. Hallelujah. From the youngest to the oldest. I want to be in His presence. I want to be where Jesus is. Hallelujah. I want to be where Jesus is. I want to live in His Word. I want to be where the Spirit of the Lord is moving. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I want to be where Jesus is.
Without a compromise.
Glory to God.
Your will be my command. Lord, my life is in Your hands. Oh, Lord. I surrender now. I surrender now to You.
My speech and my preaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Hallelujah. Oh, it's a life-changing power. It's a life-changing message. It's a life transforming Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, He's alive, church. He's alive tonight.